Well, when the war crimes tribunals are held for Trump and Lindsey Graham, the only evidence that will be needed to convict them is to just play the speech or speeches that they just gave, because they just admitted to war crimes. They just admitted to it. Lindsey Graham is he's on Fox News calling for the murder of every woman and child and every single person in Iran. And he says that he's very happy about that, and we have to do it, and we have to bomb them back to the Stone Age and destroy every single thing they have. He says, quote, "We're going to blow up the things that allow you to function as a nation." And then he laughs and smiles, along with Sean Hannity, who's, you know, a deep state CIA propagandist for Fox News, obviously. And then Trump says pretty much the same thing. "We're going to bomb all your power plants. We're going to bomb you into the Stone Age." And then in the very next sentence, Trump will say something like, you know, but we're negotiating with them. You know, we're making progress on talks. It doesn't make any sense. So when the day comes that there are war crimes tribunals for Donald J. Trump and Lindsey Graham and Carolyn Leavitt and Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, etc., I will support those tribunals, because our country right now, the United States of America, is run by some of the most evil, satanic war criminals in history. In history. Right up there with Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler and the worst of the worst in the history of human civilization. That's who we are watching right now. And it's becoming just abundantly apparent to anyone paying attention right now that this is what's happening. A direct quote from Trump: "We're going to hit extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong." It's funny that he thinks Stone Age is plural. He thinks it's Stone Ages. Okay. All right. Marjorie Taylor Greene reacted. She said, "I wanted so much for President Trump to put America first. But all I heard from his speech tonight was war, war, war. Nothing to lower the cost of living for Americans. Nothing to reduce our nearly $40 trillion in debt. Nothing to save Social Security, which goes bankrupt in a few years. Nothing to lower the cost of insurance. Nothing to address jobs for Americans. Nothing about education for our children. Nothing about our children's future. Nothing for America's future. I'm so beyond done," she says. And then Larry Johnson, who I interviewed recently, he had a few things to say about Trump's criminal admissions. That's all you can call it. You know, Trump has just cemented his position as the most insanely psychotic, demonic war criminal in the history of our country. Here's what Larry Johnson has to say.
"I mean, clearly you folks in Iran haven't gotten the memo. Don't you know you're defeated? I mean, you've been totally defeated. So Trump just doesn't understand why you don't give up."
Yeah.
I mean, the speech was pathetic, sad, delusional. You know, for example, he claimed that the United States is producing more oil than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined. No, that's absolutely not true. The United States produces around 13 million barrels a day. Saudi Arabia does around 12, and Russia does 10. So you put Russia and Saudi Arabia together, they actually produce more than the United States. And the amount that the Saudis produce is right now not going on the world market. So that's going to keep oil tight. And once the ships that were at sea prior to the war of attrition that the United States and Israel launched against Iran on the 28th of February, a lot of those ships will now be coming to port. They'll be offloading, and then there's no ships behind them. So the real impact of the oil spike in price is not going to hit, I think, for another, you know, 2 or 3 weeks around the rest of the world. It is hitting in Asia right now. His claim that Iran was behind the bombing of the USS Cole, no, that was Al-Qaeda. And as Iranians know, sadly, groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS and al-Nusra, they've attacked Iranians. They've attacked Shia people.
So there you go. Larry Johnson is correct. I mean, it's wow. This is a low for America. Probably the lowest of the low. I'm not sure how much worse it can get, but I bet Trump is trying to figure out a way to make it even worse. You know, on top of all of this, Trump says he built the, quote, strongest economy in history with no inflation. And the strongest or the highest stock market ever. Yeah, give me a break. All of course, manipulated and fabricated based on Trump lying to the American people. And so really, Trump's speech, I could only watch parts of it, but the parts I saw were just lie after lie after lie. I mean, outrageous lies. Lies so outrageous that only a retard could believe anything that Trump said. And that, honestly, those are the only people who are left in Trump's support base are actually cognitively retarded morons or brainwashed, you know, Zionists or something. That's it. It's not possible for an informed, rational, intelligent person to still support Trump at this point. It's not possible. So let me share with you what I think Trump is going to do next. I think that Trump is going to pull off the greatest military hoax of all time. He is going to land troops in Iran or claim to do so. You know, this is almost going to be like the accusations that Apollo faked the moon landings, because, you know, everybody's talking about the moon landings because of the Artemis mission happening right now. So, you know, a lot of people think that the Apollo moon landings were faked. And it's absolutely, just for the record, it's clear that NASA faked a lot of videos. There's no question about that. Whether they actually landed men on the moon and then maybe they needed to like recreate it, you know, like a dramatization video to recreate the landing. You know, I've heard people say, well, that's why it looks fake, because they didn't get good video on the moon. They had to recreate it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. That's not what this podcast is about. You can feel free to believe whatever you want. But what I'm saying is that Trump is about to do an Apollo moon landing level of fakery with the military, a giant military hoax, where he will say that our military lands in Iran, you know, parachuting in, 82nd Airborne, this and that, and he's going to claim that we will go in to the mountains and the wherever the enriched uranium fuel is stored, and Trump is going to claim that we've rescued the nuclear fuel and that we've removed it from Iran, and that therefore Iran is no longer posing any nuclear threat to the world, and that's a total victory, and that's how we can wind down the war in 2 to 3 weeks, and then declare victory. But the entire thing is going to be a hoax. Now, I don't know what level of, let's say, hoaxery Trump is going to pull off here. Maybe he lands troops to make it more authentic, you know, and maybe he sacrifices some U.S. soldiers to make sure there's enough body bags that it all seems very real. But for sure, it's going to be a hoax that they rescued the fuel. That's going to be a total hoax. But they're probably going to have pictures of, like, I don't know, barrels coming out or something. I don't even know how this is stored. Is it in drums? But wouldn't they have to have all this, like, anti-radiation gear or something? This stuff's radioactive, right? So, highly, highly toxic. Probably leaks a little, you know? So, how much you want to bet they're going to show us in the next 2 to 3 weeks, they're going to show us some, you know, mocked up photos of some special forces people, like, rescuing the enriched nuclear fuel, and then Trump's going to declare victory, and that's going to be his off-ramp. Because, you see, Trump has lost this war. He has lost. And he is destroying the credibility of America. He's destroying the petrodollar status. And he's destroying the election viability of the GOP, big time. the polls are turning against Trump so dramatically that that's probably what got him to panic here and seek an off-ramp. But he can't admit defeat, obviously, because it's Trump. He's got an ego the size of, you know, Earth or something. So he has to declare victory because he wants a giant golden statue of himself, like Kim Jong-un. So he has to fake the victory. That's the only way that Trump can walk away from this situation. Note that he will still be walking away with Iran in control over the Strait of Hormuz, which means that Iran will be the global oil hegemon. Iran will have control over more of the world's oil and energy supply than any other nation, including Saudi Arabia. Think about that. But Trump will walk away and claim victory, and then he'll tell the Europeans, well, that's your problem. You go open the strait. Knowing that that's not possible for the Europeans to achieve, because the Europeans, well, their militaries are already largely destroyed. I mean, used up. That's a better term. Used up and woke. On top of that, a bunch of woke-tards, right, running the European militaries. So they can't fight. They can't actually fight Persia. You know, they can't fight Russia. You know, European militaries are good at only one thing: dying. Dying in battle. They're not soldiers. They're not real soldiers. And the leadership of European countries, they're not real leaders. They are also woke-tard idiots, you know? So Europe's not going to open the strait. Trump's going to walk away and claim victory and tell the world it's your problem. And when Trump says that, you know, well, we have all the oil we need, we have all the energy we need, that's not actually true. We don't have all the right kind of energy that we need. We don't have the right kind of oil. I mean, we still need imports in order for the U.S. to meet its energy demands. Chris Martinson was talking about this in a post. He said, according to the IEA reports, we are a net importer of crude oil in the United States. We need 3 million barrels per day. Now, yes, we have petroleum exports that are large, like over 6 billion barrels, I believe, something like that. But that includes natural gas liquids, NGLs, that are produced from our so-called wet gas fields in America. That's not oil. And it's exported because we produce a lot of excess natural gas liquids. But we still need petroleum to hit our refineries in order to produce the fuels that we use. So, in other words, this is going to impact America as well, unless we can somehow come up with a way to produce an extra 3 million barrels of crude oil per day, which, you know, doesn't, I'm not sure that that would be easy to do. Maybe it's possible, but it would take time. Wouldn't be instant, would it? So Trump's wrong in thinking that we are totally insulated from this. And plus, Trump probably is not familiar with the table of elements. So he doesn't know about helium. You know, when he saw the elemental symbol for helium, which is he thought somebody was just talking about him. It's like, he is good. He is valuable. And he's like, I know I am. You know, no, we're talking about the table of elements, you moron. But, and he's probably wondering, who is H? Is that George H. Bush? Or, you know, who is H? That's hydrogen, you moron. But Trump doesn't know anything about reality, right? Not at all. So he doesn't know about helium. He doesn't realize that all the labs in North America are about to go dark. And I shared with you yesterday the force majeure letter that my lab received from Airgas that said, you know, you're going to be lucky to get half the helium you normally use. And we're going to charge you extra for it, and it might get worse from here. So all the labs are going to go dark. We're not going to have the sulfur. We're not going to have the fertilizer supplies we normally have. We're not going to have the sulfuric acid. Not going to have the urea, the ammonia, etc. Trump doesn't know anything about any of that. He is literally clueless on all those topics. So, in fact, this is going to become a huge problem for America. It's just that it'll be a problem earlier for Europe and Southeast Asia and India, in particular India, and Africa and South American nations, etc. The U.S. will hold out longer than other countries, but not forever. So all of this is coming home to the U.S. because Trump has, he's burned down the world's industrial infrastructure by launching a war on behalf of the Zionist end times apocalyptic demons that run Israel. And Trump created the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. The Strait was open before Trump launched the war. So he created the conditions that caused it to be closed and then ultimately controlled by Iran. And it doesn't make any difference if you, quote, bomb Iran to the Stone Age, which you can't, by the way. I mean, Iran can recover. And even if they're in, quote, the Stone Age, they can still control the Strait of Hormuz because it doesn't take much to harass ships going through the strait. So Trump loses. I mean, Trump has lost. Trump has basically surrendered to Iran, and now he's going to stage a fake rescue operation, a total enriched material fake hoax rescue that, you know, his low IQ followers will believe because they believe anything at this point. But it will be pure theater in order to give Trump an off-ramp from this war. So that's going to be something. That's going to be something. Now, you know that 9/11 was carried out with the help of Mossad and Israel. I mean, everybody knows that at this point. You know, it was George Bush working with Israel. They installed the explosives for the controlled demolition of both the Twin Towers and WTC Building 7, which was also brought down by controlled demolition. And you know how the right Zionist people had the right insurance policies, and they collected billions of dollars on the insurance payouts while they just happened to not be there that day, etc., etc., right? And you know all these people are connected to Trump, right? I mean, you can go back and you can see video of Howard Lutnick on the news talking about, you know, sobbing and crying about how all his co-workers are dead, but he was lucky that he wasn't there that day. Yeah, okay, right. That whole thing was a setup. 9/11 was a total setup. It was a false flag operation. So we know that they are quite accomplished at carrying out theater that is also costly because it kills a lot of people. In other words, it's not all fake. They kill people. They kill enough people to make it real, to have the emotional impact, but they engineer the whole thing and they control it. Just like they had controlled demolition on 9/11, they're going to control this rescue operation. They'll probably, I mean, my guess is they'll actually film it in a desert in Nevada or somewhere like, or Utah or somewhere like that, or maybe some other country. They'll find a desert somewhere and then they'll say this is a training exercise to the soldiers. And then they'll set up, you know, here's the drums you have to rescue, and here's how we're going to do it, and we're going to simulate enemy fire, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, everybody ready, you know, roll, or speed, as they say in Hollywood. So they'll roll the cameras, and then the soldiers will go through this. Soldiers think they're just, you know, practicing. Imagine their surprise when this gets aired on CNN as the actual rescue operation, right? That's how this is going to go. They're going to film it, they're going to produce it, they're going to package it, they're going to push it out to the American people, and they're going to say that's what happened. They're going to say it's real. It'll be faker than the ice cream coming out of the ice cream machine at Dairy Queen, okay? I'm not even sure that qualifies as ice cream. It's like some kind of casein, milk proteins with lipids mixed in and sugar. Who knows? But it's going to be the fakest thing you've ever seen. And then when that's all said and done, Iran is going to build nuclear weapons. And so before long, it won't take them long because, again, you're not going to be able to destroy the whole country. Yeah, you can bomb all the power plants and you can set them back for some period of time. I mean, it will be a setback for Iran, no question about it. You lose infrastructure. It makes life very difficult. They will be set back for a long time, but they will have assistance from Russia and China and Pakistan and perhaps other countries. Actually, North Korea has already promised them assistance. And Iran will, trust me, number one on their list will be build nuclear weapons and then demonstrate them. And that could happen this year, later this year. And it'll be a big surprise all over the news. Iran demonstrates nuclear weapons. And then everybody will say to Trump, Trump, I thought you destroyed, I thought we rescued all the, first you said you destroyed all the nuclear material, and now, then you said you rescued it. So what happened? How did they get nukes? And you know what Trump will say? Trump will say, look, aliens. You know, look, squirrel. But in this case, it'll be aliens. And I have to think that this NASA mission, this Artemis mission, which is utterly pointless. Oh, we're flying astronauts around the moon. Who cares? That already happened 55 years ago. I mean, what? So? Is that progress? I mean, you're not even landing on the moon. I have to think that there's some kind of psyop that they're building up on this. Like, they're going to fly on the dark side of the moon, and then they're going to claim, oh, there's an alien city down, or some, you know, some nonsense like that. Oh my God, aliens took us. Like, these four astronauts, is it four astronauts? Like, they're going to come back, and they're going to go on CNN, we were taken. And they had anal probes, you know. Really? Is that what that flap is on the seat of the astronaut jumpsuit? Is there like an anal flap there for the alien probes? Is that what that is? Oh, and by the way, the toilet doesn't work on the Artemis spacecraft. I called it. I told you it wasn't going to work. I said that in the podcast. NASA's shitter won't work. How do we know that? Because the shitters on the USS Gerald R. Ford don't work. The United States of America is incapable of building toilets on a government contract. I mean, they could cost billions of dollars, they still won't function. And the very last thing that you want is free trajectory turds in zero gravity. You do not want that. Like a turd festival in outer space. Space balls, basically, right? But the toilet doesn't work. So I guess they're just going to have to hold it for 10 days until they come back. And then they're going to have the alien stories, probably. I mean, maybe. Who knows? I'm just guessing that they're setting up some kind of freakazoid psyop here to distract people from the fact that Trump has lost and Iran will have nuclear weapons. So they're going to have to come up with some bigger distraction, some bigger lie, you know, and probably faking alien contact would be the next big thing. And you can kind of see that they're setting that up, right? They're setting it up. They've been rolling out people, even they rolled out a Netflix documentary with a bunch of untrustworthy PSYOP CIA people saying, oh yeah, this is like, we're sure that they were not human origin. They were flying around pulling G-forces, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's all the same kind of people that always run PSYOPs. Same kind of people that set up 9/11, you know? So you can't trust those people. And I don't know for sure what they're going to roll out, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's aliens or something bigger like that, or if they claim, I don't know. What was it, J.D. Vance, who said they're not aliens, they're demons? I think he has seen so many demons in the White House that now everywhere he looks, he's like, they're demons. Yeah, it's because you're seeing demons all day in the White House, especially those religious leaders. What's that woman's name? The crazy one? The psycho Zionist Christian lady? Yeah, this is like basically a mass hypnosis, you know, charlatan. And she was saying that Trump is basically Jesus now because he's been persecuted like Jesus was persecuted. Okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's a hybrid or something, you know? I mean, I say that half jokingly. You know, lizard people or whatever, they're going to roll out some kind of giant, you know, giant psyop. Clearly, that's where this is going. And it's going to be comedy. It's going to be pure comedy, whatever they roll out. because nobody believes them anymore. So watch for that, and I guess maybe on Polymarket you'll be able to place a bet or something on, like, you know, which PSYOP are they going to roll out first? Will it be, you know, demons from an alternate dimension, or will it be aliens from another planet, or who knows, right? Something big, though. That's what Trump needs as a distraction, because he's such a con artist and such a loser and such a betrayer of the American people. He needs a big distraction. So bottom line, yeah, you are living in some very strange times. This is Truman Show time, okay? The number one skill that you and I are both going to need is discernment. We need to be able to see through the fakery, the hoaxes, the theater, all of it. I don't trust NASA. NASA, never a straight answer. That's what it stands for. And by the way, I don't believe the Earth is flat. And yeah, as far as the moon missions go, I don't know. That's another podcast. I've interviewed Bart Sabrell, and he makes a compelling case that a lot of elements have been faked, but it could be that they're just, you know, they had to recreate the scenes, and that's why they're obviously faked, you know. But anyway, believe whatever you want to believe on that. I don't trust NASA. I absolutely do not trust Trump. I do not trust the federal government. I don't trust anything coming out of official sources at this point. And we're not in Iran. We don't know what's happening. I mean, where do you get your information? The only honest sources are really social media and some Telegram channels at this point, because you can't trust anything coming out of the White House, obviously, or Fox News or CNN, etc. And obviously, you and I, we're not going into outer space. So after the rocket launches, you know, how do you know what happened? You know, nobody knows. It's not like someone's following it. You know, I saw a rocket go up into the sky, and then for the rest of the 10 days, you know, it could be all just bullshit. Like, oh, we're flying around the moon now. Really? You're just in orbit, probably. You know, you're faking it again. Just 10 days of orbit, and then they're going to come back down with the reentry. Oh, look, they're coming back out of the sky. Yeah, they've just been in orbit for 10 days. We know that's not an accomplishment, really, you know. Not in 2026. So how do we even know they're going to the moon? How do we know anything beyond what you can see with your own eyes? You certainly can't trust the government. So stay tuned. Yeah, it's going to get wild. You can follow more of my work, of course, at brightvideos.com. And you can catch my articles at naturalnews.com, of course. You can follow my posts at brighteon.social, which is an uncensored free social media website. So check all that out. And I've got interviews and all kinds of good stuff coming up. So thank you for listening. Yeah, be well. Okay, Trump is on the verge of transforming Iran into a nuclear power oil hegemon, meaning that Iran will control over 20% of the world's oil and gas energy, because it will maintain control over the Strait of Hormuz. And at the same time, Iran will become a nuclear state, because that's obviously the only defense mechanism against nuclear aggressors such as Israel and the United States of America that continue to attack Iran through multiple methods, not just the kinetic attack that has recently happened, but also through economic sanctions and other attacks. So if you look at where we started a little over a month ago, before Trump decided to attack Iran, Iran did not control the Strait of Hormuz, or at least it did not assert control. It did not control 20% of the world's energy, and it was completely forbidden to pursue nuclear weapons because of the fatwa issued by the Ayatollah Khamenei that Israel murdered. Now, where it looks like this is going, although Trump is probably still planning a ground invasion, he's going to try that option, and Israel may be planning nuclear weapons. We'll talk about that in a second. But now, it looks like Iran is going to gain control, total control over the Strait of Hormuz, which means Iran will be able to decide who gets to go through the strait and who doesn't. And just today, Iran officially declared that Israel will never be allowed to use the Strait of Hormuz, that is, any ships bound for Israel. So this cuts off Israel's energy supply from the Persian Gulf. And I would imagine that America's use of the Strait would also be similarly prohibited by Iran, given that it's the United States that initiated the unprovoked war of aggression against Iran. That's what Trump did by attacking Iran. And then, as far as nuclear weapons go, it's very clear that Iran must pursue nuclear weapons as a means of self-defense. Iran, of course, has the technical expertise to do so very rapidly, and they have the ability to deliver nuclear weapons on ballistic missiles. So it probably won't take long for Iran to assemble nuclear warheads and to demonstrate one, to demonstrate to the world that it is a nuclear state. And that will, of course, change everything. So once that happens, then America finds itself in a much weaker position, no longer controlling nearly as large a percentage of the world's energy supply, and also no longer able to continue to threaten Iran because of Iran's nuclear weapons. So, of course, America's leaders, who appear to be all neocon warmongering lunatics at this point, they will join Israel's leaders in denouncing any effort by Iran to obtain nuclear weapons, and they have said publicly that they must stop Iran from obtaining those weapons. That's part of the current effort, is to make sure Iran never has nuclear weapons. Why? Because that would take away power from Israel. It would halt Israel's expansionism into its Greater Israel project. Otherwise, you know, Israel would just get nuked. And it would also halt the U.S. military's invasion attempts on Iran, because the U.S. military could be nuked, or Navy vessels could be hit with nuclear weapons. It doesn't even take that, by the way. They just get hit with drones and they, you know, they leave the area. But anyway, in order to stop this, Israel and the United States may decide that they need to use nuclear weapons first. Presumably, this will happen from Israel. And it will probably happen without U.S. permission, because Israel does whatever it wants, and then it just drags the U.S. along for the ride. So Israel will probably seriously consider nuking Iran. And I believe that Israel will actually do it. I think that they will nuke Iran. When they do that, here's what happens. Everything gets worse, of course. But you see, because of the wind patterns in the Middle East, it's highly likely that radioactive fallout will blanket Saudi Arabia, as well as the Gulf nations of, well, I mean, Kuwait and Iraq and Bahrain and UAE in particular, right? Qatar, etc. I mean, Oman, name them all. When this happens, those areas will become uninhabitable for a long time, potentially a century or more. So the entire vision of Dubai, for example, as this amazing city, Dubai will become a dead ghost town if this happens. Qatar Energy, currently providing over 20% of the world's natural gas supply, which is critical for fertilizer, etc., they will no longer be functional because the area will be uninhabitable. Even if the radiation doesn't affect North America directly, let's say, we could still grow food in North America, or you could still grow food in Europe or Russia or China, for example, but you can't get fertilizer and you can't get energy because all of that will be rendered uninhabitable, even if the natural gas infrastructure itself is still intact. You know, the trains, as we talk about with Qatar Energy. Those trains, there are 14 of them that create the compressed natural gas or liquefied natural gas that ultimately feeds most of the world, or a big portion of the world, through nitrogenous fertilizers and the creation of ammonia, you know, through the Haber-Bosch process, as we've talked about before. Even though the infrastructure won't be destroyed. The radiation fallout will make it uninhabitable, and thus no one can be there to operate it. And so we will go into a kind of dark ages of human civilization, all because of Israel and Trump, during which there will be mass global famine, obviously. There will also be, you know, accelerated depopulation, civil unrest, poverty, uprisings, everything you can imagine, like Mad Max in some areas, not everywhere, but in some areas, full-blown Mad Max. And you got to realize that the half-life of cesium-137 is, I believe, 29 years, or we could just round it off to 30 years. And so in, let's say, 90 years, then you could reduce the radiation by, you know, 1/8 of the original, because that's half of half of half. So three life cycles of decay. Even that might not be enough. So the area might not be inhabitable for a couple of centuries, actually, which would mean that you have all this energy, all this fossil fuel energy on Earth, but no one can get it, because the entire area will have been rendered toxic with radioactive fallout because the Zionists wanted to burn the world to the ground. And that's how they can do it. So this shows you the danger of Zionism and the danger of the genocidal regime of Netanyahu and the danger of Trump being a Zionist puppet. But this is how the world can end, as we know it, that is, with a nuclear attack on Iran that makes the entire region uninhabitable and ends up creating Mad Max conditions in many areas around the world, and also at the same time cutting us off from the energy supply that currently feeds the world and powers the world's industry. So all of that may be happening soon, so get prepared. Get prepared. It's going to get ugly. All right, thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, brightvideos.com and naturalnews.com. Take care. Well, the one silver lining from this war in the Middle East is that Germany has decided to stop committing energy suicide. The Chancellor of Germany, Merz, he has said that the German government is now going to build 15 nuclear power plants, which, of course, being Germany, will take 50 years. But they're also going to lift sanctions on all Russian oil and natural gas. What do you know? How many times did I say that Germany was going to have to go back to Russia and beg for energy? I mean, Michael Jahn said it as well. We've known this was coming. In addition, Germany has agreed to pay the cost to rebuild the Nord Stream pipeline that brings gas from Russia, the pipeline that the U.S. Navy blew up in an act of terrorism, obviously. That happened under Biden, and Biden bragged about it, and so did Victoria Nuland as well. They bragged about it. Of course, we're going to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. And at the time, Germany celebrated it. Oh, yeah, we're just going to buy gas from America. Or maybe from, you know, Qatar. And now, Qatar's not shipping gas because America also decided to wage war against Iran, as you now know. As we all found out, because Trump is a neocon warmonger, Zionist puppet. And then as a result, Europe isn't getting gas shipments out of the Middle East. And Trump says, screw you, Europe. You can buy gas from us at, you know, 500% higher prices. And Germany has finally realized, oh, crap, we should just buy energy from Russia. It's way cheaper. And all we have to do is repair the Nord Stream pipeline. Actually, one of the pipelines is still functioning, or could be functioning. And so Merz has said, quote, it's time for Germany to reopen or to open our energy economy. The best way to do this is via free markets, lowering taxes and regulations. Why did it take you a decade to figure that out? All wind projects in Germany and all solar projects have been canceled. That is, the ones funded by government. All canceled. Reportedly. And so this is Germany ending its suicide cult, apparently. You know, energy suicide cult. So isn't that interesting? I wonder how long it will take the UK to figure this out. Now, yeah, don't get your hopes up, right? It's the UK leadership. It's the Brits. They'll never figure this out. France's leaders will come to their senses after they're done partying. But Germany, being very practical, has realized this first. And also they're closer to Russia, so it makes more sense. So what's going to happen to Germany's all this talk of we're going to defeat Russia? And all the things that the German leaders have said since 2022, when the special military operation began between Russia and Ukraine. Well, with Russia attacking eastern Ukraine and then the Donbass regions, you know, voting to join Russia, etc. You know all that history, hopefully, by now. But this entire time, Germany has declared war against Russia. And Germany, at one point, I believe, said, we will never buy energy from Russia. We will never trade with Russia. Russia is evil and it must be defeated. And then all it took was one war in the Middle East for Germany to come around and say, hey, Russia, can we buy some of that really affordable gas from you, pretty please? We'll pay to repair the Nord Stream, yeah, that the U.S. blew up. We'll repair it. We'll pay for everything. We'll lower taxes. Yeah, pretty please let us buy your energy, Russia. Because Germany is in a state of collapse, industrial collapse. Remember the BASF facility, BASF, that used to operate in Germany? It was the largest chemical plant in the world. And, you know, what they manufactured 45,000 different chemicals out of there from hydrocarbons, and one of them being, you know, ammonia for nitrogenous fertilizers, etc. And then the Nord Stream pipelines got blown up. And then BASF said, we're going to move to China because China's not crazy. China has energy, and they don't blow up their energy infrastructure, and they don't try to appease the climate cult lunatics and shut down all their natural gas and everything. You know, China actually is very practical. So BASF moved to China. And as of just this week, the new BASF plant is open in China. It's actually up and running and producing the same molecules that it used to produce in Germany. But that's history. And that's because, again, Germany, you know, went along with the climate shutdowns and all the energy insanity for all these years and declared war on energy. And now Germany, on the verge of collapse, comes begging back to Russia. Please, please, mister, can you give us a little bit of... No, I'm sorry, that's a British accent. like a poor London boy, you know, like, please, mister, can you give us a little bit of pie, you know. But it's Germans begging now, and they're begging for energy to save their country. So think about it. This is the country that once went to war with Russia, not even that long ago. That was World War II. And Germany said, we're going to conquer you, you know, with Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. And they sent in their troops and their tanks and their armor into Russia. And they went quite a ways into Russia, by the way. And I always cite the Battle of Stalingrad as one of the real turning points of that war. I think that was the winter of 1943, or 42-43. It bridged that winter, I believe. And notably, the entire German 6th Army was surrounded ultimately because the Russians broke off their supply lines and went behind them and made them surrender. And that was, I think, a couple hundred thousand troops. It was the 6th Army. And that was the real turning point. And after that, Germany never went any further east in the war. At least that's my memory of it. I'm not a World War II historian, but that's my general knowledge. So here's the question. Given that Germany tried to conquer Russia in World War II, and then recently, since 2022, also tried to destroy Russia, went along with the plan from the West to destroy Russia and then loot and pillage the country and steal their energy, you know, for the golden age for Germany. We're just going to steal Russian energy. given that that's the history, should Russia sell energy to Germany at this point? Should, right? That's a legit question. Should Russia provide Germany with energy that Germany has at least twice now tried to steal from Russia? Because, you know, the answer from Russia is, hey, Germany, try as you might, you still can't conquer Russia, or, you know, the Soviet Union before modern day Russia. You can't beat us. You've tried. You've tried with all your might. You still can't beat us, but you want us to sell energy to you. I would think that if you're Russia, there would be kind of like a Nazi tax. I'm just guessing. For every cubic meter of gas that Germany wants to buy, I think the answer should be yes. Surely, yes, you can buy the gas. There's just going to be a Nazi tax. It's only for every cubic meter, though, so don't worry. We don't attribute it to every cubic centimeter, just every cubic meter, okay? So, and how much is the Nazi tax? I don't know. I think it's whatever number Russia wants to charge. That's how much I think the Nazi tax is. And I think that the Nazi tax would be a great way to teach Germany another historic lesson. To say, hey, if you're going to be retards, there's a cost associated with that. If you're going to be warmongers, there's a cost associated with that. I mean, Germany costs Russia a lot of money since 2022 by providing, well, didn't they provide some missiles and some tanks? I don't know what their modern tanks are, but I know they provided a lot of equipment, a lot of munitions. They donated a lot. They kept saying we have to defeat Russia over and over again. So they cost Russia a lot of money while they were emptying their museums, you know, while Germany was. Eventually they were throwing like panzers from 1945 into the battle. Now, will these work? Probably not. But just doing a simple search here on this, it turns out that Germany has provided over 5 billion euros of military equipment to Ukraine, that Germany conducted training for over 10,000 Ukrainian soldiers. Let's see, Germany remains the largest single military supporter of Ukraine since the U.S. pulled out mostly last year. There's around 11 to 12 billion euros of military aid to Ukraine scheduled for this year. In terms of air defense systems, Germany has provided 500 Stinger missiles, 2,700 Strela surface-to-air missiles, 3 Patriot missile systems and Iris-T systems, and more. In terms of tanks, Germany has provided 18 Leopard 2 main battle tanks. That's what they're called, the Leopard 2 tanks. They provided 140 Marder armored personnel carriers, 46 Gepard self-propelled anti-aircraft guns, 54 M113 armored personnel carriers. Those are Danish systems financed by Germany. And then some infantry fighting vehicles, and then a bunch of howitzers, 155 millimeter, a bunch of 330 rounds of ammunition for the anti-aircraft guns, 4,000 attack drones, 55 heavy equipment and tank transporters, on and on and on, okay? 20 laser-guided rocket launchers and a partridge in a pear tree. So now Germany's like, can we buy gas from you, Russia? Can we please buy gas? I would think that Russia's first response would be, well, number one, stop funding our opponent in the war. So all that's got to stop. And then secondly, you're going to pay us back for all the damage caused by all the equipment that you sent into the war. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe like 1 euro per cubic meter of gas. I think that would be the Nazi tax. Does that make sense? One euro per cubic meter of gas. So you might wonder, well, how much was Germany paying before the war with Ukraine? I did a little research on that, and it turns out that Germany was paying about 0.1 euros per cubic meter, or maybe 0.2, depending on how you do the math. Let's say 0.2. So I think Russia's price to Germany should be 1.2 euros per cubic meter. How about that? And take the one and call that the Nazi tax. There you go. I mean, hey, Iran is going to charge a toll for ships to sail through the Strait of Hormuz because they're going to need that money for the reparations to rebuild all the damage caused by the U.S. military that committed numerous war crimes, like blowing up hundreds of schools in Iran, using children's schools for target practice for the U.S. Air Force. Unbelievable. So yeah, Iran is going to extract a toll from every ship that moves through the strait, and I think that Russia should levy a Nazi tax on Germany and say, yeah, we'll provide the energy. You're going to have to pay for it, because we're not stupid. And we remember what you, Germany, did twice to Russia, or what you tried to do but failed to do. So don't think about trying it a third time. Meanwhile, Russia will be providing 50 billion cubic meters of gas per year to China through that new gas pipeline they're building across Mongolia, you know, into northern China. I've covered that before. I would imagine that China's getting a good deal on that gas. Wouldn't you think so? Yeah. Just kind of being semi-allies, you know, Russia and China today, at least having some alignment in their interests right now. Although they've had, you know, dust-ups in the past. But here they are, mostly getting along. And I would imagine that Russia's going to sell energy to China at, I don't know, maybe 10 cents, you know, euro cents per cubic meter. But Germany's going to have to pay a whole euro or more. That would be my guess. Maybe two euros, double Nazi tax. Or maybe, you know, a double Nazi tax because you tried to attack us twice. And if Germany tries to attack Russia again, the third time, there'd be a triple Nazi tax. You see where this is going. The bottom line is that Germany has burned all its bridges with Russia. Nobody in Russia trusts Germany. Why would you? And also, Trump is burning bridges with Germany and European countries by now apparently claiming that he's going to wind down the war with Iran without controlling the Strait of Hormuz. And he's saying publicly, although this could be a deceit, but he's saying publicly that Europe needs to go in and solve that problem. So you do it, Europe. And of course, all the European countries are like, we already gave all our equipment to Ukraine. It's pretty much all blown up now. You know, and the UK is like, we only have one ship that works partially, except for the propellers. That's the Queen Elizabeth, you know. It's about as active as she is today. All these European countries, what are they going to say? Yeah, we'll send our pathetic navy and whatever tanks we can scrape up out of the museums. We'll just, what, put them on railroad cars and send them to Kuwait? I mean, what's the plan? What's the plan? No, it's not going to work. So, you know, tying this together, you know what's amazing here is America blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, which put all of Western Europe into an energy deficit that was catastrophic. And now Trump set the world on fire by starting a war with Iran that's destroyed energy access through the Strait of Hormuz. And now Trump's going to apparently walk away and just leave that mess right there while telling Europe, it's your problem, bitches. This is Trump. This is what he does. You know, if he shows up at a bar, he'll set the bar on fire, walk out the front door and tell you it's your problem to put out the fire. Because that's what he's doing to the world now. And you know what's really funny about this is, because we've had a lot of discussions here about how retarded the European leaders are and even how much the European people hate their own leaders, because their leaders, you know, they're they're tyrants and they're woketards and they're climate cultists. They are insane lunatics who allow their own countries to be overrun and destroyed from within while they are committing energy suicide. And the thing is, it's too late for Germany. It's too late for the UK. It's too late for France. It's already too late. You've already lost. Your countries are lost because you can't pivot back quickly enough. You've already, you know, in Germany and other countries, they destroyed the coal power plants, even new ones. They took giant cranes with the wrecking balls and tore them down, or they demolished them. They tore down their energy infrastructure. And now they've awakened. Oh my God, we have no energy. Yeah, because you destroyed it. You idiots, you destroyed it. So I feel no pity for the leaders of European countries, but I do feel a lot of sorrow for the citizens of the European countries who are having to suffer under the absolute treason of their own leaders. And with Merz here saying, oh, now we need Russian gas. That's not going to fly if you're still funding Ukraine in the war. So unless you marry that with a proclamation that we're going to end all financial support for Ukraine, we're going to stop sending all weapons and all money and all munitions, then Russia's going to say, go pound sand. Why should we sell gas to you if you're funding the country that's fighting us? Doesn't make any sense, does it? So, you know, Germany's going to have to snap back to reality, or they're going to lose their country. And probably they're going to lose their country. And probably all of Western Europe is toast at this point. And, you know, I've said it before. Michael Yon has said it before, and we're right. This is where it's going. If you don't have energy, you don't have industry. You don't have a country. You don't have strength without energy. And right now, you know, Iran controls the strait. Russia controls the gas. China's building hydropower and solar and wind like crazy. You know, there you go. The U.S. has quite a lot of energy, but they're going to charge you for it big time. They're going to make you pay, you know, quadruple. So that's the scenario. Western Europe is toast. And they can really only blame their own leaders for that. But, you know, then again, we have a similar problem in America where Trump is tearing down our economy as well. So, you know, we have the same problem as the German people or the British people or the, you know, the French people. We effectively all have the same problem. All of our leaders are traitors and pedophiles or whatever, you know, Epstein class people. That's just a universal problem, isn't it? In the West, you don't see that problem in Russia. Do you? It's like Putin's not named in the Epstein files. You don't see that problem in China. You don't have that problem in Iran. It's not like, who's in the Epstein files? The Ayatollah? Huh? Nope. He's not in there. Because they're not pedophiles in Iran. You know, they're not pedophiles. They don't like traffic and rape children all day long like our leaders do, you know, in the West, Western countries. So there you go. All right. Be ready for craziness. But Germany is realizing it's in deep trouble. Trump is realizing he's in deep trouble. And increasingly, the American people are realizing they're going to face massive food inflation and fuel inflation and so much more if this thing doesn't get turned around quickly. So buckle up, folks. It's going to get wild. All right. Now, you can catch more of my podcasts at brightvideos.com. And my articles at naturalnews.com. You can use my free AI engines at brightlearn.ai or brightanswers.ai. And if you want to get prepared with backup communications and solar generators and so much more, then check out our sponsor's website, the Satellite Phone Store, sat123.com. That's sat123.com. Get it while you can, while the grid still functions, you know. Get prepped for things to get worse, because that's probably where this is headed. All right. Thanks for listening. Take care. Welcome, everybody, to our interview today here at brightvideos.com. And I am joined by Tina from the Satellite Phone Store. But today we're talking about your dark bags
technology, and that's at darkbags.com, which is EMF protection, and much more. So welcome, Tina. Good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's EMF, EMP. So it does three things, right? It protects from an EMP attack, which today is probably, you'd probably like be more worried
risk,
about
yeah.
higher risk of an EMP attack because, you know, the bad guys, if they're going to get us, they're going to just kill our electronics. That's the easiest way to get us. And then it protects from also from EMF. So it protects your body from getting the radiation that we're all exposed to.
Like 5G, that yeah. kind of thing, Bluetooth.
Yeah. Yep. And then also it protects your privacy. So
yes.
we can talk about all those things. And, you know, we've got some new products and I'm really excited about some of the new products. They've been in testing for a couple of years and I've been wanting them. So I'm like, you know, a big fan of them and I'm a big user. And so I'm real excited to share with you.
So you've spent actually years, your company has been engineering and rigorously testing and pioneering all these different formats of EMF protection equipment in all these different forms, like a purse. Can you hold up the purse?
Yeah.
To show, but it's backpacks, pouches, purses, vests, and much more. I mean, give us kind of an overview of what you have available.
Yeah. So the purse, it's really cool because it's got this EMF pocket here that fits your, that'll fit your laptop, your small iPad, small laptop, your phone, your keys, so that nobody can copy your keys.
Scan your fob. Yeah.
Yeah. That's been pretty big lately. Your credit cards, nobody can steal your identity. Also your phone so that nobody can hack into your phone. So, and then also, what about the digital footprint? We are leaving digital footprint everywhere we go.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I was watching Dateline last week. I don't know if you've seen it, but now they're like, there's this new, geofencing thing where you don't even have to have your phone. The guy, the murderer was caught, didn't even have his phone on. It was powered off, but they were still able to locate him, Google. And I was just like watching and I'm like, oh my God. Now I'm glad they get the bad guys, but we're good guys. We don't want to be tracked. I don't want to be tracked. I don't want my digital footprint for Google or anyone to see 24/7.
Right.
So I put my my smartphone, my watch, all my electronics inside of a Faraday bag at least 8 hours a day, at least when I sleep. So this way I can kind of disturb my digital footprint so it's not, you know, 24/7 being tracked.
Right.
Plus, you know, obviously for health. So this is a really nice purse and it's got all that. If you put your phone inside here, you're protecting yourself from EMF. But if you put it in here, you're protecting yourself from EMP, plus you are protecting yourself from being tracked.
So there's two different levels of protection in the same bag, just
yeah.
depending on where you put the phone.
Yep. Yeah.
So the bag always protects the user from any EMF emitted by the phone.
Yep.
Correct?
Yes.
But then you can go into an inner area that has total blockage of all the phone signals.
Yeah. At least your wallet should be in there and your keys. Because you know what the bad guys do is they can be within 6 feet away from you, they copy your key, then they
go steal your car.
They go out there and they steal the car or at night they come in through the garage and rob your house. I mean, you know, these are the things that we're hearing on the news. It's been happening all over the country. So yeah, so it's always good to protect yourself. Don't leave your keys next to your door because that's what they do. They don't even have to be inside your house. They just come and if they sense your key by the door, they're going to copy it and they're going to get inside your vehicle
wow.
and steal it or, you know, or attempt to steal it or attempt to come
yeah,
through the.
This is true. But you also have other formats. So this white jacket that you have here,
mm-hmm.
this isn't just for show. This also has the same technology built in.
Yeah. So
can you show us that?
Yeah. So we got that jacket and,
oh, yeah.
and this jacket
and they're
pretty much the same. Except yours is for men and this is for women. And you see the left pocket is EMF, the right pocket is EMP, the top pocket is EMF. So if you put your phone
okay.
in a pocket that says EMP,
EMP is on the right. So this is the best protection.
Yeah. So
that blocks
the signal. Your phone is not going to ring.
Right.
So it blocks everything.
But if you want to just But if you put it in the EMF pocket, it will still ring, but it's blocking, it's protecting you, the wearer, from that phone radiation, but still allowing the phone to talk to the cell towers?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So you can choose which pocket you want.
Yeah.
Based
and
on
then,
your...
of course, the top pocket. If I don't know why anyone would put their phone next to their heart, but we see that a lot.
Yeah.
So we put a EMF pocket there. So in case you're the type of person that always likes to put the phone by your heart, which I would never recommend.
Yeah.
At least it's protecting you from the EMF going to your body.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would change this label to say Glock.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I...
Yeah. We could do that. You know, this kind of like this idea was years ago. I had a lady that was the healthiest employee we've ever had. She would go running every day. She was vegan, took care of herself. I mean, she was the most healthiest person that I've ever met in my life. And I would be so jealous of her. One thing she did wrong. She when she would go jogging, she'd put her headphone and she'd put her phone right here.
Oh, wow.
And guess what? She got the worst kind of cancer. No cancer in her family ever. She got the worst kind of cancer that you could possibly get, because breast cancer go from like about 1 to 10 on how bad they are. She got the 10. She survived it because she was so healthy. She did survive it. But look, anyone, when I see people running and they have their phone inside their blouse or here without any protection, that's a suicide,
yeah,
to me.
But okay, but similar to that, you also have this. I'm going to open one here. These are wristbands that protect you from smartwatch radiation. So I don't know if you can see. Yeah. Inside, this is a layer of EMF protection. Yeah, you're wearing it.
So inside, on that side, it's organic cotton. So this way, when it's against your skin, it feels really nice.
Yeah.
But inside the sewing, there's three layers of
Faraday material.
Copper, yeah, and silver-infused material.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is there's no radiation going to your body, and we've seen there's been a lot of tumors, people with tumors. People that wear the smartwatch, if you look under the watch, you'll notice that the hair doesn't even grow anymore.
Whoa.
So imagine what it's doing. People say, well, I want it to read my heart rate. Well, can you imagine if it's something like that, hitting your body, reading your heart rate, that's a pretty dangerous thing. So anyways.
Especially concentrated in one spot all the time.
Yeah. So I stopped wearing the watch for about 2 years while I was trying to develop this, because my hand was hurting, and plus the guy that was giving me IVs for vitamins, I do vitamin IVs, he said, you know, I feel a tumor here. And I was like, oh. So I had it checked, and then that tumor went away after I stopped wearing a watch. And now I can wear the watch again and keep track of my steps. It doesn't read your heart rate, but it still does everything else.
Yeah.
But why would you want it to read your heart rate? Don't. Anybody that wears those rings, those things, I mean, you know, you don't
want
anything.
The health monitors, yeah.
Or how about the ones, the diabetes thing that people scan? Why would you want anything? And then they wear it so close to their hearts. I tell everyone, don't wear those. If you have to check your blood sugar, do it the old-fashioned way. Get the needle and check your blood, or just stop eating sugar. I know I can't give up.
Yeah, stop drinking high-fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Well, see, now I have a watch.
Yeah.
But this is an old school style analog,
yeah,
solar powered watch. And it turns out that the smartest watch is a dumb watch.
Yeah.
So this watch isn't going to spy on me. It's not going to upload data to the cloud. It's not going to irradiate me. It's got, it barely has any moving parts, you know?
Yeah.
Just the face.
Yeah. Those are the good watches,
yeah,
you know, to wear. A Rolex would be good. But the thing is, like for me, I like to keep track of my steps. I want to try to get my 20,000 steps a day.
Ah.
And when I don't wear the watch, I don't get the steps. I don't know what it is. It's something mental. But these are so cool, and they're soft, and they're so easy to use. And you just put the watch over it, and then you're protected.
Yeah.
So you don't have to put radiation right onto your body.
So in this age of the Internet of Things and the technologicalification of the human body, or whatever we want to call it, the Borgification, you can actually protect yourself from technology without giving up the tech.
Yeah.
With this or the jacket, or you've got pouches also that protect the wearer while still allowing the phone to talk to the cell towers. You want to show us one of those?
Yeah. So, you know, I got into the clothing, right? T-shirts and pants, because everybody's like, you know, I can't put the phone in my pocket anymore because my legs hurt, or, you know, whatever. People are starting to notice it. You know, the men's sperm count is like, statistically is down by like more than 50% in the people that wear the phone in their pocket all the time. So we know all these things are happening. They don't talk about it. I don't know why every time a doctor comes on and talks about it, you know, they lose their license or something. The pharmaceuticals don't want us to know that these are bad for us because they want to give us medication. So I tried to get into the clothing, but I felt guilty because when you buy a T-shirt, it's $200 because, you know, silver is expensive to buy a T-shirt. And but every time you wash it, you lose like 10% of the silver in a wash. So you can, you know, every 3 months or every 10 wears, you have to buy a new T-shirt. So I kind of felt guilty getting into that product. I know. So I'm trying to get into products where you don't have to wash. You don't have to wash these every day. You don't have to wash the jacket every time you wear it. You only wash it once a month, you know, so that you don't have to replace them every couple of years instead of replacing a T-shirt every 3 months. Well, this one is kind of like, you put your phone in there, you put your smartphone in there, and then you put it in your pocket. So it's got two sides, and I'm going to flip it inside out, Mike. So this side right here is the dark side. This side goes against your body. So this side is what blocks the EMF. And then on this side, so that the phone can still ring, we only put the EMF protection on the bottom, because not, if you take a EMF detector and you put it on the bottom of the phone, 90% of the EMF comes from the bottom of the phone, not the top of the phone. People think it comes from the top, but it does not. That's the reason why thyroid cancer is so high. So many people walking around with thyroid cancer don't even realize it. If you hold your phone like this, the EMF is all on to your side.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you put your phone in here and make sure that there's the dark and then there's a little bit lighter side. So the dark side goes against your body and then you put it in your pocket. And now you're blocking the EMF with any clothes that you wear, whether, you know, just about any clothing that you wear. And if you just wash this once a month or once, you know, every couple of months, then this should last you for quite a few years. So this is the reason why we're trying to come up with ideas. This idea was actually given to me by a bunch of doctors. I was in a conference with a bunch of doctors and they said, oh, we wish we had something, a pouch that we can put our phone in and put it in our the scrubs or their white rope. So I was like, okay, so here we are 2 years later. I have it. They bought them all. There's a few left. But I get another shipment on April 10th.
This is all at darkbags.com?
It's all at darkbags.com, yeah.
That's in addition to Be Ready 123 or Sat 123.
Yeah. So all the EMF products, go to darkbags.com. They're all made and designed by Escape Zone, which is my company. But everything goes through a lot of testing. If anybody has any ideas of other products, they can write me, tina@satphoneservice.com, satphoneservice.com. Your mom gave me an idea. I did it, and I love it, and we've been selling a lot. And the mom's idea is this. I had crossbody bags, right? That were Faraday. And it has a Faraday pouch in there that blocks signal, it blocks everything. But if you put your phone inside there, it just blocks the EMF. So when the crossbody bag is so close to your body, you're not generating radiation onto your body, even if you don't put it inside the Faraday pocket to block the signal. So she wanted something like this. So I even chose her favorite colors. And then I designed it, and so she can put the phone anywhere. If she puts it here or here, she won't generate any radiation onto her body. And if she wants to block signal, if she wants to completely disappear, she can open this pouch, throw it in here, and close it. And now she's completely off grid and no one can track her.
But in the outside locations, the phone will still ring, but her body's protected from the phone EMF.
Yeah. The whole bag.
So that's cool.
The whole bag is EMF material.
So that's actually, I mean, that's more complicated to create than people think, because you have to go through a lot of testing to make sure that the blocking is actually working. I mean, how many layers of EMF material does it take for the inner pouch part?
Yeah. In some cases, it's three layers. Some cases, it's two. For EMF protection, in a lot of cases, it's just one if you want the phone to ring. In this case, for the watch, we did extra because this connects to your smartphone when it rings, so you don't need the signal, but it's not going to read your heart. So it does block, so you've got metal between your heart and the battery, and it's protecting you from cancer-causing EMF. I think you've interviewed a lot of people about what EMF is doing to us. And I think I heard they're coming out with the G6. Is it 5G, 6G? 6G. Like, that is, ugh.
Yeah, 6G is coming.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it carries more bandwidth. And so there's more energy in the signal also. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have even more devastating health effects compared to 5G.
Yeah. And you can get blankets. You know, I would get the blankets and then...
You still have the blankets?
Yeah, I don't have them with me.
Okay.
But I was looking at your dog. He doesn't have a blanket. I'm telling you...
He has fur. He's fine.
Well, a lot of customers tell me that when they buy the blanket and then they call and they get another one, they're like, yeah, my cat or my dog took it. Because the cat, the animals know. You know, they are getting affected. The animals are getting so affected. I'm trying to do some kind of clothing line for pets, but I haven't gotten to that. But our pets are getting affected by the CMF. But yeah, so if you get a blanket, get one for your pets too. We do have them online.
Good point.
This way, 8 hours while you're sleeping at night, at least protect yourself. Or you can also use the blanket to cover all of your electronics, or get a big duffel bag. We have duffel bags. Put all of your computers, electronics, everything you have that's electronic, including your routers, put them all inside duffel bag, lock it up. There's no reason while you're sleeping you should have any radiation. There should be zero radiation for you and your family. Protect your kids. I mean, imagine all the kids that are being exposed to it from very young age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You have the backpack there also.
Yeah.
That's a very popular format.
Yeah. So the backpack is we have a large backpack if you want one, but we have this small backpack with school kids in mind, college kids, because it is, number one, it's bulletproof. It's 3A3. And then also it's got a pocket in the back of it, where you can stick your cell phone so that, number one, it blocks the radiation. Number two, it blocks it, you know, so that nobody can track your kids. And the phone doesn't ring in the classroom, but the text messages will still come in when they take their phone out to call you. And so these are really good to have. They are bulletproof. It's really nice to have anything bulletproof with you wherever you go. Mall, it could be anywhere. It doesn't even have to be the schools, although I don't, you know, we're seeing more in schools, but it's nice to have, and it's pretty light for it to be bulletproof. It's really, really light,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's just nice.
Is the ballistic panel removable?
It is. Yeah, it is removable. If it's right here.
I'm seeing it from here, but yeah, you'd have to.
It's a zipper.
You'd have to unzip it.
Yeah, it's right here, and here's the panel.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the stuff. If you want extra, if you want it to go 3A plus, you can request another, because you can fit in two panels in here.
Uh-huh.
So if you live in the dangerous areas like Chicago,
America,
Chicago or Los Angeles.
Right.
I would recommend you buy an extra one of these. I think they're $80. You can ask us. And then just put two of them in there, and now you've got extra protection. But also keep in mind that the books, if the kids have books in there, so the books will also help. We have some videos on our website.
Are you saying the books will have some ballistic properties?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have the books, bunch of books in here, plus this, chances are, you know.
I think. Maybe when you and I went to college, we had big books.
Oh, yeah.
I think today, they don't. I don't think the college kids read.
Yeah.
I don't think they have any books.
Yeah. So this, you know, obviously, as you know, with bulletproof, even if somebody gets shot, it'll save your life. You can still get hurt, obviously, as you know. Even police, when they wear their vest, they still, you know, they still break a rib or whatever.
Yeah, big bruising, but it doesn't penetrate it.
Yeah, it doesn't go through. So we have some videos where we took six shots at it with different guns. The videos are on our website, and we put a dummy, and then we lifted, and you could see that nothing happened. The shirt, the dummy was fine. Now, we did have a dummy that took one and put his laptop and shot at it to see if his laptop would break. And he recorded it.
That's going to shatter a laptop.
It didn't shatter the deformation
of the panel.
Yeah. It didn't shatter it. It just didn't work. It bent it a little bit. But
yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that you test it on any humans or anything.
Of course not. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Don't try this at home. But that it's just an extra layer of protection in our world today because you don't know.
If that CEO that was shot, if he had this backpack because he was shot in the back, he would have survived.
You're talking about the healthcare CEO?
Yeah. He would have been probably maybe had some Band-Aids, but he would have definitely lived because he would have been pushed forward when you get shot, it pushes you forward. We did that with the dummy, and you can see with the dummy kind of like jerks a little bit forward.
Uh-huh.
So he probably would have fell, but it definitely would have saved his life.
Well, you know, that's a reminder that we live in a dangerous world in so many ways. I mean, we've got EMF threats, 5G and 6G coming. We've got kinetic threats that are out there, but also privacy threats, you know, surveillance.
Yeah.
And we had this one AI company, Anthropic, which refused to allow its technology to be used by the Pentagon for automation of weapons, you know, autonomous weapon systems, Terminator drones, but also they refused to let the government use it for autonomous surveillance. Mm. And so Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, put Anthropic on the banned list.
Wow.
Yeah. So now none of the government contractors can use Anthropic, which is Claude code, which is what I use for vibe coding, by the way. Hmm. So it's the best AI tech out there for code, and no one's allowed to use it in the government.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Isn't that wild?
I didn't know that. Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, I don't mean to get off topic. It's just that we live in a world of many different threats, and what's important about the products that you offer, darkbags.com, is that you can protect yourself against some of those threats.
Yeah.
To some degree. You never have 100% control, but you can stop the tracking, you can stop the EMFs from getting into your body, and you can still have your cell phone functional.
Yeah.
Right? So this gives you the power to protect yourself.
Yeah. The idea of giving up on electronic is not even on the table anymore.
That's true.
I can't give up my phone. I'd have to give up my business. So the best I could do is to protect myself.
I have something to show you right here.
Okay.
This is a non-electronic calculator. I don't know if we could get a shot of this. This is the old Soviet Union calculation machine.
Oh my God, where'd you get that from? I love this stuff.
I bought this on eBay. So here's what you do. This crank does the math. Uh-huh. So you enter your numbers here, like what you want to do. Oh, hold on.
No EMF there.
Hold on a second. There. That's a block. You subtract is one way, and then addition is the other way.
That is so cool.
And this thing down here, this thing that moves.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for me to, I can't even see it now. There we go. That's one order of magnitude. That's your decimal place mover right there. Like I can go times 10, times 100, times 1,000, or I can go back this way and crank it so I can multiply by different, well, sometimes it needs a little oil.
Yeah, but no EMF from
there's that. No batteries, there's no electronics, yeah. There's no EMF at all.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have an old typewriter.
Like serious old school.
And I've been buying from eBay too, a bunch of the phones. Remember the rotary dial phone? I even have a big phone booth with the phone, and it still works.
You have a phone booth?
I bought a phone booth from eBay.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Lately, I just bought, I buy a lot from eBay, and kind of like you. But I just bought the Wayne Gretzky rookie card. I'm so excited.
Really?
Yeah. I love that guy. Yeah.
Well, let me show you, while we're doing a little show and tell, let me show you something else from last year.
I should have brought my...
It'll blow your mind.
I should have brought my stuff.
Okay. All right. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I didn't buy this on eBay. I've actually had this all these years. Lotus 1-2-3 on 5 1/4 floppy.
Wow.
For the IBM PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that.
Wow.
This is in mint condition.
Yeah. Oh, like, my God.
You're never going to find this.
No, not anymore. Not these days. You can't even find 8-tracks anymore.
No.
No, nothing. But I'm so into the buying the stuff, like an old typewriter.
Oh, yeah.
I love those. That's kind of like when I went to school, that's what we had to work on, was those where you had to, you know, push the buttons.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, I have old sewing machines, too, that are... Like they built them like tanks in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Even Singer.
Yeah.
If you want a sewing machine that won't break, you got to get one built in the 50s or the 60s.
Yeah.
They're like tanks.
That's
like
so
cast
funny.
Iron.
I had no idea that you were interested in stuff like that.
I am.
I'll have to bring you something next time.
Okay.
From the 60s.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. You also need a phone the phones were good from the 30s. The ones when you see in old movies.
Oh, really?
They had the handle and they spoke on a speaker. I love those phones. Every time I see one on eBay, I buy them. I love those.
Well, I'm into off-grid technology is my thing. Like,
yeah.
What can we use to function as a civilization without 5G, without electricity, without batteries? Something that just works. And this one, like this just, here it is, built in the 50s. Still works.
Yeah.
And it will always work.
Yeah. That's so awesome. I've never seen that. I'm going to, what'd you pay for it?
I don't remember.
You don't want to say.
I don't recall. It wasn't crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But, and here's how you clear all the numbers like that.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's how you clear it. So you don't have to do everything with pencil and paper, you know.
Just to have that.
Yeah. And there's old American adding machines that were used at point of sale retail also. But they're very basic compared to the Soviet machine.
Yeah.
The Soviets had much better mechanical math going.
Yeah. No, yeah. That is so cool. I have the calendars of the, like the stock market, you know, the ones where you have to flip the stock market used to use back in before all this electronics. I bought those off of eBay.
Oh yeah.
I'm an eBay shop. I love that. I love that stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. Recently, you know, baseball cards, obviously, and you know, Wayne Gretzky, I was so excited that I won because I kept bidding on him and someone would always outbid me. And then I stayed up one day and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to outbid them. And I waited till the last second and I outbid them and I got it. And I was so excited.
I just can't imagine you buying hockey cards.
I love Wayne Gretzky. Only Wayne Gretzky.
Really?
Yeah. Such a classy man.
Huh.
I love him. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, yeah. Very cool. Okay, well, we managed to get way off topic.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's kind of relevant in the sense that, you know, we don't want technology to hurt us.
Yeah. Like,
we live in a world where we all have technology. I think your phone's ringing somewhere, too.
I think
too.
It's mine.
Oh, it's your watch.
No.
Was it your watch?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had my phone on silence, but not my watch.
Yeah, your watch. But we want technology to serve us, but not hurt us. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so the product line that you've put together allows people to do that, to take back control and still not have to give up all the tech.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Mike, our digital footprint is being used, it's going to get used against us at some point.
Clearly.
I mean, I've been seeing it. You know, I saw a couple that went through a divorce where she put a restraining order against him, said she was coming near me. Then she was actually chasing him. They went after her, got a digital footprint, and now she's in a lot of trouble because it shows her digital, her used her digital footprint against her. Look, you know, it's not whether you do something bad or not. Every single one of us is entitled to some kind of privacy. And we can't have the big tech track us 24/7 for whatever reason. We're not doing anything bad. We're just living life, but we don't want to be tracked.
Right.
I don't want to be tracked. I like to, you know, for at least 8 hours to sometimes even a whole day. When I'm off, when I'm not working, I just put my phone inside of a Faraday bag and just let it sit there.
Yeah.
Because if I power it on, I'm still being tracked. Not by friends and family, but by Google. Obviously, as we know, they can still track you. They have a low, on the bottom of the phone, they have inside the phone, they have a low mode battery that stays on for up to 72 hours after you turn your phone off. So you're still being tracked. So look, your digital footprint is yours. And you should do something about it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what I look at.
Well said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tina, let me remind the audience, the website is darkbags.com. And there are more different formats and products than what we showed you here. Quite a lot to explore. Laptop bags, tablets, of course, mobile phones and other devices. So check it all out at darkbags.com. And Tina, thanks for bringing everything for show and tell today.
Yeah, thank you so much. If they call in and they say that they heard it on this show, they can get, I would have told all my employees that if they say, you know, they heard it on Mike Adams on this podcast, they can get the shipping for free.
Oh, really? Yeah. All they have to say is
Mike Adams. Watched this podcast. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so, free shipping, huh?
Yeah, free shipping on everything.
Well, that's a big deal because shipping prices are going up.
Yeah. Yeah, especially on the big generators.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are heavy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So.
Okay, free shipping, folks. Just say my name when you call.
That's
so,
it.
So they should call on that, not order through the website?
Yeah, they should call and order through the website. Call us. I do know, I just want to point out that these have been flying off the shelf. So by the time this airs, we might be out of these, but we do get more of these on the 10th. We sold,
April.
Did a podcast and I think we sold like 5,000 of them were gone.
Oh.
So I had to place another order. It takes weeks to get them. So we get about 20,000 of them on the 10th. So place your order anyways. It will get shipped on or before the 10th. And at least you'll get it on this batch instead of waiting for the next batch.
Huh.
And same thing with these bags. The doctors bought them all. I just have few left, but I do have a shipment coming on the 10th. So do place your order because they will be gone. These bags have been
Very
popular.
Hey, and then I just have one suggestion. I think you should make like a skull cap that we could give to all of our politicians so they would stop receiving orders from aliens or whoever's telling them to destroy humanity right now. Like, that's what we need. We need a helmet for the political leadership.
Yeah. Anybody that has a good idea, if we use your idea, we'll reward you. Send me your ideas, because that's where I'm getting all my ideas is from people, your mom, other customers are like, can you do this? Can you make that? And then we can look at it and evaluate it. But send me an email, tina@satphoneservice.com. And I'll reply to you.
Tina@satphoneservice.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Tina, for the show and tell.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you like my old Soviet calculator.
Oh, my God.
As well.
I'm
yeah.
so into stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I didn't know you were either.
That's
so
wild.
I'm so excited. Now
I'm
going to
bring more stuff then for your next visit.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, there you go. Thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams of brightvideos.com. And Tina's company is a sponsor of our platform. So support them at darkbags.com. And thanks for watching today. Take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine. Highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.